Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming to listen to our presentation. This morning I'll be talking about one of the projects that we're implementing in East and Southern Africa. It's on developing drought-tolerant maize. This project has a 10-year vision. Just to give you introduction, for those who don't know much of Southern Eastern Africa, maize is the main crop and maize is the staple food. When they say there's no food, that means there's no maize. That was what you call corn here. So most of the smallholder farmers that we work with, they depend on maize. And most of the farmers, they look at their field and say, okay, if I plant 1 hectare, will I have enough to take me or feed me until the next season? But we expect that the population in Southern Africa to double by 2045. And we expect that if this population doubles, then there will be high demand for maize. And most of the maize yields still vary. They are very low. Most of the farmers, they harvest about 1 to 2 tons per hectare. And we expect that most of the maize growing areas, which are the mid-altitude zones, that the climate is actually going to increase in terms of heat. We expect that there will be a lot of climate change. And with climate change, we expect this to be affected by maize to be affected by drought. And since 2006 at CIMIT, we've been trying to develop maize for drought. And I'll just basically go through some of the methodologies that we use. This is one of the projects that we're working on. It's called the Drought Tolerant Maize for Africa Project. It's funded by the Bill Gates Foundation. And this project was actually to increase the maize yield by 1 ton per hectare above what the farmers were growing at the present stage. It was also one of the objectives was also to increase the seed, like 70,000 tons of seed of the new drought tolerant maize varieties. And this will be done by some of the seed companies. One, we have done the breeding. Most of the seed companies will take up the new improved drought-tolerant maize, and this is expected to benefit about 30 to 40 million farmers in the region. So what did we do in terms of breeding? Which methodologies did we use to develop the drought-tolerant maize? We looked at some of the farmer's field. The idea was not to simulate the farmer's field, but to look at the stress that occurs in the farmer's field, like drought, and also to look at some of the stresses like low nitrogen that occurs in the farmer's field. As most of the farmers, they don't apply fertilizer like what is done in the first world. For example, in this particular field, you can see this part of the field, you have actually applied nitrogen, and this part you have not applied nitrogen. And we have 1,000 of our different lines that we screen under these conditions. And most of these fields where we have where we are screening for low nitrogen has actually been depleted of nitrogen, where for 6-7 seasons we don't apply any nitrogen, and we evaluate our germplasm under those conditions. And based on that, we'll select those genotypes that are tolerant to low nitrogen. At the same time, we do that for drought. This is done during the off season when there is no rain, and we cut off the irrigation just before flowering. And based on that, then we'll select the genotypes that are doing very well under both low nitrogen and also under drought. For example, here you can see on the genotypic differences in terms of drought. For example, there you can see some of the varieties that were selected under nitrogen, where some of the genotypes you'll get something, and while others you'll not get anything. So based on that, then we are able to select those genotypes that are doing well under low nitrogen and also under drought. And based on this, we also try to look at those genotypes that have short enthesis silking interval, and also look at other traits that are important for drought. And based on that, after the evaluation, we actually do a lot of testing with a network of partners to validate the results that we get. So we have different testing sites across East and Southern Africa. We have the drought sites, we have drought and heat, and most of the time for heat, we try to plant so that by flowering, the temperatures will be about 35 to 40 degrees Celsius. And during that time, we'll be able to select those genotypes that are doing well. And then we also look at other sites where we try to evaluate. And recently, we developed a double haploid facility in Nairobi to quickly develop the inbred lines. And these are just some of the results that we have able to get from some of the hybrids that we have developed. We found that under drought, some of the newer hybrids are actually yielding very high, like CZH 1154, 57. And we also do that in comparison to some of the commercial checks from some of the seed companies in the region. And besides just doing the on-station trials, we try to also validate that by taking these new hybrids into the on-farm. So basically, we have done this in these different countries, in Ethiopia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, where we take some of the most elite hybrid, we give them to the farmers, where they can evaluate those under their own conditions. And based on that, then we are able to get the data and see how well these new drought-tolerant varieties perform. This is just some of the results that we have gotten from the on-farm trials. The red dots represent the locations in the various countries that we are doing the on-farm trials. And then we compare some of these best drought-tolerant varieties to some of the commercial varieties. We found that most of the companies, they have actually been concentrating much under optimum conditions, where they are evaluating their varieties in well areas. And most of this, we found that some of these new drought-tolerant varieties have actually been doing very well. And when we analyze our data, we try to separate the trials to look at those trials that are yielding around above 3 tons and those trials that are yielding below 3 tons. So we assume that those are trials that were yielding below 3 tons that represent the conditions under farmers' field. And those above 3 tons represent the optimum conditions. And based on our results, we found that under low conditions that the new drought-tolerant varieties have been able to yield between 20 to 30% above the commercial checks. And under high-yielding conditions, we found that our new hybrids have been able to yield about 15 to 20% above the best commercial checks from the seed companies. And besides just looking at yield, we have also tried to look at farmers' preferences. You know, usually the farmers, they prefer different traits. I mean, we have flints, we have the dents. For example, in Malawi, we found that farmers prefer the flints because they assume that they actually store better and they have better poundability compared to the to the dance. So these are just to show you some of the evaluations that we did with the farmers in terms of the traits that our farmers prefer, looking at earliness, looking at poundability, looking at crop size, and so forth. So we developed this index to see how well those varieties are with the new compared to the commercial checks. Okay. And from this project in the last 7 years, we have actually released about 150 drought-tolerant varieties in Eastern and South Africa. Once the varieties have been developed, there are a lot of new emerging seed companies that don't have the breeding program. So they have been able to pick some of these varieties, and we have given those seed companies the rights to commercialize those varieties. So far, we are working with about 55 seed companies that have picked some of these drought-tolerant varieties for them to commercialize and to promote them with the smallholder farmers. This just show you the projected area in terms of seed where we are. We are in the target to reach about 70,000 tons, where we hope that we can replace some of the old varieties that are still being grown in the area. So we found that every year we are slowly replacing the old hybrids with the newer drought-tolerant hybrids. And one of the things that we do is actually to work with seed companies to promote some of those new drought-tolerant hybrids, where we have posters, we do field days, we invite farmers to come and look at the new drought-tolerant hybrids. Just in conclusions, we found that we are slowly making some of the gains, and based on that, we have also tried to improve our phenotyping screening, where we are trying to reduce a lot of plots noise. We have the double haploid technology that we are using, and also try to look at association mapping to see what different genes with our partners are responsible for drought. But we still have a challenge in terms of seed companies actually reducing replacing the old hybrids, because some of those old hybrids, they are well known to the farmers, but it takes time to change the old hybrids with newer ones. And based on that, thank you for listening.
We have time for two questions.
Yes. Thank you for your presentation. I'm confused that if farmers as old as Africa are using varieties or hybrids?
They're using hybrids.
Ah, okay.
Some are using hybrids, some are using OPVs.
Okay.
Just depends on how much money they have in their pocket.
So, the line that you have shown that have better performance under those environments are varieties.
Varieties, I mean both hybrids and OPVs. So I didn't just want to say hybrids or OPVs. But the thing is that our breeding program is actually based at hybrid development. But we use some of those lines that we use for development of hybrids to make OPVs.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.